irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I hope everybody had a safe and fun Memorial Day weekend, and today I'm excited to have a very special guest on this show, Alicia Dunhams. Alicia is the founder and CEO of Bestseller in a Weekend, a live workshop that takes students from idea to author in record time. The Book Funnel, an author services company that provides white glove and concierge done-for-you book services, and authoring leadership, corporate retreats, and training programs which facilitates personal and business transformation through the process of storytelling, authoring, and authoring collaborative books. Passionate about women in leadership, Alicia is the host producer of Wealthy Girl Summit, an annual wealth-building conference for women featuring celebrity authors and influential business leaders. Alicia has been featured as a business expert on Inc.com, KTLA, Business Rockstars, and the Steve Harvey Show. You can find more about Alicia on aliciadunhams.com. And today, I'm super excited to have you on the show, Alicia, to talk about how important it is to actually build your brand and write a book to make yourself more credible in today's market. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Jennifer. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell our listeners a little bit about your story. How did you come to write books and to teach other people how to write books? Tell us a little bit about your path.
Absolutely. Well, it really started when I wrote my own book back in 2007. Actually, we're in its 10th year anniversary, and that book is called Goal Digger. That's G-O-A-L Digger.
I love
lessons,
it.
Lessons learned from the rich man I dated. So really a self-help book that, you know, takes the lessons that I learned from very successful men and puts it in a book, basically, you know, telling women and showing women that you can do it yourself. So it was definitely a fun self-help book that I wrote, some personal experience, but just using it as an example to be inspired by other people and to create your own business through that. So that's how I wrote my book. And when I launched Goal Digger and it became an Amazon bestseller, I realized, okay, how do I actually monetize this? So I've been a business owner for 16 years, and which is a long time. And so through the process, I realized, okay, I wrote a book. How do I monetize it? So I took a look at the New York Times bestseller list at that time when I launched my book. And on the New York Times bestseller list was like Laura Langmire was on it and Christy Comerford and Marcy Shimoff. I was specifically looking at the women authors at that time. And I took a look at them and to see what type of businesses they were running, how they were monetizing their books. And what I saw from Laura Langmire to Marcy Shimoff, they did a lot of coaching, they did a lot of consulting, they did a lot of speaking events, seminars online. And I said, okay, maybe this is the way to go. So what I decided to do was create a live conference. So out of the launch of my book, I was able to build my email list a bit, build some momentum. And then I created a conference called Wealthy Girl Summit. So I did that a couple months after I launched my book. And it was really amazing. I actually invited all three of those women. So the women that were on the New York Times bestseller list during that time, I picked up the phone and I called them. And this is a great learning opportunity for people listening in right here, is that a book is a great way, it's an icebreaker. It's a great way to pick up the phone and contact people that don't even know you, because you can tell them that you are an author of a book, and that's a great conversation starter. So I called Laura Langmire, didn't know her, called Christine Comerford, didn't know her, called Marcy Shimoff, didn't know her. And I used my book as a way to really get on their radar, invite them to speak at a women's conference that I was hosting. And they all said yes. And so a few months later, I had Wealthy Girl Summit, 13 female speakers, all leaders, business owners. And what I found is that the conference, although it was a success, it wasn't a great money maker, because as many people know, when you put on a live event, there's a lot of costs, hard costs, the venue, the food, etc. And then as I finished up, I'm like, okay, well, this is probably not the way that I'm going to make really great money. some of the speakers are coming up to me at the end of the event, and they're like, Alicia, hey, can you help us write a book? And that's how my business really started, is the speakers asking me how to write a book. And ever since then, it's been 10 years that I've been helping people, helping business owners, thousands of people write books and become bestsellers.
Wow, that's amazing. So how many people have you helped at this point?
Oh my goodness, it's definitely over 2,000 people.
Wow.
As you mentioned, I have two programs. I have Bestseller in a Weekend, which I run both online and in person throughout the world. And then the Book Funnel, which is a done-for-you author service. So I've had lots of people come through, thousands of people come through Bestseller in a Weekend. And then I also work with people privately.
So tell our listeners a little bit about it, because having published a book myself, you know, a couple of years ago, I know I do not recommend it to the faint of heart. And it's something that I'm so grateful I did. It was always something I wanted to do, and I definitely intend to write another. What would you say is the first step in figuring out if and when you should even write a book?
Absolutely. It's a great question. So in terms of writing a book, you need to look at, you know, what you're doing in the world. So whether you're a business owner or an employee, because I remember when we were talking about this show, Jen, and I was saying it's two different animals. If you're a business owner, you definitely want to write a book because it's a marketing tool. It's a way to get you on TV. It's a way to get you on stage. It's a way to really create, it's a lead generator from Amazon. So it's a way to create really a lot of momentum and exposure to you as a business owner and as a thought leader. And so as a business owner, it's really kind of not if you're going to write a book, but when are you going to write a book?
Good point. Okay. Fair enough.
And then as an employee, it's really something, again, we talked about brand building, because writing a book is a way to build your brand. So as an employee, you're really representing your company and you are an employee of a company. And so we talked about entrepreneurship. So entrepreneurship is having your own business. Entrepreneurship is basically taking control, ownership, responsibility over something in your company and really taking ownership. So I think the perfect example of an employee who wrote a book, and it is such an amazing example, is Sheryl Sandberg.
Mm.
She's an employee. She's a COO of Facebook. And what a perfect example of a way to build her personal brand as a thought leader, as a speaker, as really an innovator when it comes to women and leadership, but also build the brand of the corporation. I mean, imagine how many times Sheryl Sandberg goes and speaks and appears on TV, and she is announced as the COO of Facebook. So it's really great momentum and great exposure for both parties. Now, I've worked with people who are employees and they say that their bosses or the CEO of the company get a little nervous when they write a book because they
that was
start
my thought.
Building their brand. Yes. They start building their own personal brand. But I always say, hey, look at it as a win-win situation. So I think the biggest thing, if you are an employee going to write a book, you want to write a book that's not about your job per se, or that reveals anything about the company that you work for or your bosses or anything like that. You want to keep those type of things contained, because again, it's not your intellectual property, and they might not want to be exposed in that way. But a way that you can leverage writing a book is writing about something more around service or giving back. So Sheryl Sandberg, for example, women in leadership. Now, I mean, any CEO is going to support an employee that is writing on something that's about giving back to the world or encouraging diversity, inclusion. And so maybe I had another author who wrote a book, and she wasn't an employee per se, but she hung her license with a financial services company. So in that particular situation, you got to be careful as well, because especially if you're in financial services, you can't specifically talk or give financial advice. So she was another one who wrote a book on women and leadership and women and financial planning and the opportunities there. So you want to be mindful, but to the short answer to your story is, if you're a business owner, you get to write a book as a way to stand out from the crowd, as a way to get on TV, local TV to international TV. I've had clients who've become New York Times bestselling authors. I've had clients who've appeared at the United Nations. I've had clients who've appeared on 2020 in the front cover of the New York Times. And so these are all business owners. And anytime you get more exposure, the more time you market your business, the more you're going to grow your business.
So that leads into one of my next questions is, what if you're somebody and you're like, gosh, this sounds amazing. And whether you're an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, you think to yourself, that is your end goal, is you want to be like you or like some of your clients where you're either an Amazon bestseller or a New York Times bestseller. Is that an achievable goal, or is it something that you would guide your clients away from because it would be not a reachable or attainable goal and you wouldn't want to disappoint them? What would your thoughts be on that?
Becoming a bestseller on Amazon is absolutely an achievable goal. It's something that I teach during my bestseller weekend program. You really just have to follow a formula to become an Amazon bestseller. Obviously, building your brand, building your platform, making sure that you're recognizable. I always say that recognition is a marketing tool. So platform is your influence. It's your tribe. It's your community. It's your social media platform and reach. So building your platform. Now, a lot of business owners, people who want to write books, they write a book as a way to build their platform. So that's really the first step. And then in terms of New York Times bestseller, that's a whole different animal. New York Times bestseller, you really do need to have reach. You really need to sell 10, 20, 30,000 copies of your book the first week that it launches. And that's more of a strategy. A lot of people put in their own money to do that, to become a New York Times bestseller, whether they're buying back their books, whether they have a nonprofit they're associated with, or even a for-profit or organization or association that purchases the book in bulk. So those are the type of relationships that you want to have if you're becoming a New York Times bestseller. So any like CEO who wants to do that, it's absolutely doable, but be ready to take advantage or leverage your connections in the influential business world, and be ready to also use some of your own money to purchase your books, for example, and whether give your books away to associations and organizations.
So that leads to another question. I know people ask me this all the time, and obviously you're more of an expert. I should just refer them to you. Is self-publish or go with a publisher, and why?
So that's a great question. And I really, there's two schools of thought on that. So I believe that this is how I position it for my clients. So self-publish a book if you're just getting started, if you don't have very much of a platform, if you're using your book as a way to build your business per se, if your book is about a very niche topic that's like really only for your business and has a very small reach or audience. Like I have a client named Victor Chang, and he has a book called Case Interview Secrets. It's a very niche audience. It's a test that people take, that postgraduate school students take. Okay, so for example, that's a great way to self-publish. Now, you can self-publish as a way to build your audience. So if you're just getting started, you use your book as a way to grow your audience by doing an Amazon launch campaign, giving a free chapter away, or even the entire book away for free as a way to build your email list and build your social media following. Now, you can get a traditional publisher by writing a book proposal. So writing a book proposal is really needed. So you don't have to write your entire book to get a traditional publishing deal. You just have to write at least two chapters and have a marketing plan. Now, in that, you need to really show them that you can move 10, 20, 30,000 books on your own. So you need to show that you have a podcast with raving fans and a large social media following and an email list and you appear on TV, et cetera. So those are the type of people they want for a traditional publishing deal. Now, I've had clients who are like, you know what, I'm going to get a traditional publisher. I might not have that platform, but I'm going to get it. And they've spent, 18 months to 2 years building a following, creating pre-sales for their book, building a blog, building a podcast, and they've taken the time to really build a following, which can take two plus years. I mean, there's no such thing as an overnight success. And so they then ended up either getting a traditional publisher or becoming a New York Times bestseller because they sold so many of their books. So either way is good. I've had people who had, I have a client named Leanne Jacobs. She self-published her book in 2009, and then she got a publishing deal four years later with Penguin. And then I've had people who that was really amazing. But I've had people who've traditionally published, and then now they just self-publish because they have the platform and they don't, maybe they're not so enamored by the cachet anymore because they've already been traditionally published.
Yeah, it was something that I think if I could go back and do it all again, I was kind of in a race when I released my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, because it was all about the changes that took place during the recession and the job market and how to find a job just on the precipice of the end of that. And had I done it all differently, I had a friend of mine who had a publishing company he was going to introduce me to who's already had 10 books published. And I honestly didn't want to give up the creative, I guess, what artistry you would say, and wanted to be able to do it my way, by God. And you don't realize sometimes, though, how much goes into everything from choosing the fonts and choosing how many pages and what it looks like and the details of it, that in retrospect, I didn't have a huge following at that time. I had a big enough following, but I might have gone back and gone to a publisher instead because it is a lot of work if you're doing it the first time out of the gate by yourself. Would you say in 3 years, say, since I've published, has it gotten any easier to publish on your own? I worked with a great company that helped facilitate a lot of it, but just the amount of details from choosing margins and what it all went into it, you would never fathom it when you just pick up a book and take it for granted that it just kind of is sitting there and shows up in your hands or on your Kindle.
Yeah, interesting. I've made it really easy for my clients to self-publish. It's really a step 1, 2, 3 type of method in terms of deciding what the font they want and typesetting. I mean, I believe in delegation. So
good call.
So I teach my clients that, you know, instead of worrying about the font, let the typesetters focus on that. We delegate it out and you focus on building your business.
I think that's a great piece of advice because it can be very time consuming, and it's great. I wish I had met you 3 years ago or 4 years ago before I had started actually working on putting it out there myself. But I'm grateful I did, you know, and when I write my second book, I'm sure I will go to a publisher or somebody like you who has better tips and tricks so that it's not quite so cumbersome and you're kind of, you know, swimming against the stream trying to figure out what direction to go and how to go about doing things. And I think that's why, like you just said, it's so important to delegate. I'm somebody who's written one book. I would not even come to me for book advice. And so I think it's important to know where your resources are and to hire experts who are better than you are at whatever it is you want to be doing, book writing or anything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you wrote a book and you have a podcast. So you are building your brand. We were talking before we jumped on the line that you speak all over the country. And so all of that, like all of this information from the podcast to the book to that you speak all over the country, that would be added into your book proposal. And so in the book proposal, pretty much, I mean, a really large percentage of the book proposal, I would say over 60%, is your marketing plan. So, and to tell you the truth, when I met Tim Ferriss in 2007 at the launch party of his book, The 4-Hour Workweek, when I was talking to him, he was talking, because we both launched our books at the same time. Obviously, his was a huge success. And I was asking about his book proposal, and he said, Alicia, it's a 99% marketing plan. That's what he said to me. And so I wouldn't say it's 99%, but I would say it's definitely the majority of it is a marketing plan. So who you are, competitive analysis, your market, influencers that you know that will promote the book to their tribe and community, what any social proof. So when I do book proposals for my clients, when my team does it, we put in pictures. So the first thing I tell people is do a Google search on your name. What pictures come up? Are there pictures of you and celebrities? Are there pictures of you on TV? Are there pictures of blogs that have been written on you? Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur, Forbes, Huffington Post. So all of that, anything that's really significant, you want to put into your book proposal. So they almost have a visual to see that you are influential, that you have a platform. And then you want to do some pre-calls. So like all the influential people that you know, so listing like celebrities and business leaders and you know, friends and family, calling them all up and say, hey, when my book comes out, would you do a bulk buy?
Mm.
So for example, maybe someone has a conference coming up for you, Jennifer, and you're going to speak. You can put that association down. You speak for them every year. Put it down. My book's coming out in 2018. Can they put you down for a book buy? Absolutely. And really, in lieu of your speaking fee, you can request a book buy.
Brilliant.
Yes. And so they say, okay, I'm going to buy 1,000 books. So you write that down. So it's literally a numbers game. If you have 100 people, so they're, I mean, and then you present that to the publisher, and it's a win-win for them. And so just so you know, and I want this to be a very sobering piece of information, is that you do the marketing yourself. The publisher does not do the marketing. I mean, even celebrities hardly get publishers to do any marketing. And if you notice, if you go to the 99-cent store, sometimes you will see celebrity books there. So these publishers are very astute in terms of bringing on people who are going to market their book, and it's really a partnership. And so you get the advance up front, but you're going to be the marketing engine. And so list like all the influencers, all the places that you've appeared on TV and media, and then people who said yes to purchasing your book in bulk in advance.
What are your thoughts? Years ago, I remember Mark Victor Hansen was doing an authorship class, and he had suggested something about the mini book or the micro book. What are your thoughts on either doing, say you're a little bit nervous about going out there and either doing a full book, say 150 to 300 pages, and you wanted to do one of those little mini books? I remember in one of the classes I was in, it was brilliant. I think Mark's class, they said it's everything's about the title, kind of like yours, what you were saying that you said your best-selling book was. And in Mark's, he said the best book title they ever came up with was Everything Men Know About Women. And did you hear about this? This blew my mind. $10 million book deal. Guess what was inside?
Nothing.
It's a blank book. Yeah. It's a $9.99 gag book. And it was Everything Men Know About Women. So it's not like you even have to be an expert or have a speaking platform. Sometimes a really brilliant title with something cheeky, or even one of those little books, or just doing a straight online book. What are your thoughts about the pros and cons of taking one of those approaches, of either just coming up with some really creative marketing tool or strategy like that person did, or doing one of those little micro books or a strictly online book? Are there any advantages to any of those strategies?
Absolutely. So during Best Part of the Weekend, I give everyone the tools to create their ebook on the weekend and upload it on Sunday. So an ebook or a micro book, as you mentioned, can be used as a lead generator, whether it's on your website, on an opt-in landing page, or even selling it on Amazon, giving it away for free, or selling it for 99 cents. So they have Amazon Shorts, which are shorter books, and ebooks, and really Amazon wants your ebooks. They incentivize you for selling your ebooks just on their platform alone, part of the KDP Select program. So that's something to look into. And so ebooks are great. It's a great entry drug, but I don't want to say that. But entry into your entree into the book writing world. And so with that, it's a great way to, like, for example, Leanne Jacobs, who got the deal with Penguin, her first book was a self-published book, was an ebook. It was very simple. It was a guide to a woman creating wealth, and it was a lot of journal entries and motivational sayings and aphorisms, and it became an Amazon bestseller, and she really used that. She appeared on a lot of TV shows in Toronto, which is where she's from, and was able to put some events on and really built momentum into the launch of her next book, which is called Beautiful Money. So I love that as an example. So ebook is a great way to, as an entree into this world. And then you want to write your longer book. So have fun with it. Even if you write a 30-page ebook on, you know, a particular process that you teach your clients and you give it away for free on your website, it will be a way to build your email list and create value, because content is king. Now, we want to be mindful that content is king, and Bill Gates said that I don't know how many years ago, 15 plus years probably now, is that there's a lot of content online. And so it doesn't take that much to write a blog, and it doesn't take that much to, you know, put other content, videos, et cetera. But writing a book, if it's a 200 plus page book and it's thought out and conscientious and valuable and excellent in all of those different ways, it takes time. So it's less people take the effort. So it's a less crowded space in terms of marketing, because marketing, online marketing, is very inundated now with so much content and so many blogs and so many 5 steps and 10 steps and 7 steps that a book takes more effort. And so there's less inundated, like on Amazon.com. So I think taking the time to write a book, and then it's one of the fastest ways to get on TV as a thought leader and expert, because if they're going to have experts on, they're going to say, okay, who has the book? You know, how can we want to talk about a book? And so that's how I got on the Steve Harvey show.
Wow, that's impressive. So how did you even know Steve Harvey? Did you have a PR person who set you up with him?
No, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about social media nowadays. In 2007, I was on Great Day Houston for my book, Gold Digger, and I was interviewed by the reporter there. And then I guess the producer went over to the Steve Harvey show, and then she, you know, 7 years later, found me again on Twitter and reached out to me. Whoa. And then I appeared on the show. So it's, and that's what you'll find with producers, is they are on these shows, they're looking for really great ideas and segments to pitch their bosses. And if you basically create the segment for them with the book, they'll keep on inviting you back. And if you provide a great segment for them. So it's in this world, I think PR publicists are great to have, especially if you have the money for it. It is great to have a publicist, but a lot of times you're your own publicist. And I've known people who become New York Times bestselling authors, and they did everything through their own connections. So at the end of the day, relationships are key. So using your book, using your expertise as a way to connect and provide value and build relationships and give back, that's the best way to go. Marketing at the end of the day is, you know, who you know and how you can support them.
I think that's great advice. And the thing I tell, the one piece of advice I do give anybody who says to me that, hey, Jen, I want to write a book. How did you do it? And I tell people, I was so intimidated. I never thought of myself as a prolific writer, like my sister, my brother-in-law. They're brilliant, witty, funny, amazing. And, you know, at some point we tell ourselves when we grow up, oh, I might not be the best writer. And so I started off it must have been 2009. And anytime somebody had a question in the job market or didn't know how to approach something, I would blog about it. And then I would write another article until, you know, 3 or 4 years in, I had over 200 articles that I had written in response to people's questions. And it was really amazing because I had all this fodder and material for the book that I was then able to go through with an editor and go through and figure out how strategically we wanted to lay it out. And it was really great, though, to have a lot of ideas on paper. And so whether you journal, blog, etc., I think it's just a good way to get your creative juices flowing and to get your ideas on paper, which then makes it that next step so much easier of actually taking the step to physically write the book. I think it's kind of like an outline, at least for me it was. What are your thoughts on blogging first?
Oh, blogging is a great way. You can turn your blogs into book content. So it's a great way, or if you write your book, you can turn your chapters and subchapters into blog content, vice versa. So you want to be repurposing content. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice. And for anybody out there, in case they are feeling a little bit insecure, and whether it's insecurity about their writing capabilities or insecurity about what topic they might want to pursue, what would you suggest to somebody out there as far as just a way to boost their confidence or maybe to go out there and just take that first step to start looking at writing a book, whether it's going to one of your programs?
Absolutely. Well, I'd say the first thing you want to look at is, who's your target audience going to be? What's their pain point and how do you solve it? So who's your target audience? What's their pain point and how you solve it? So that's it's a great way to hone in on what your topic's going to be. So that's something that I start off with in my Bestseller in a Weekend workshop, is where we're going to decide who who you're writing for, what their major headache is, and how you solve it as a thought leader, as an expert, as a business owner, what have you. And I think something else that, because there's a lot of mindset stuff is what people hold people back. And I was with a client or a couple of clients the other day, and I was encouraging them to do a Facebook Live talking about documenting book writing process. And they were like, oh my goodness, I don't want to go on Facebook Live. They're feeling a lot insecure. They didn't like it, et cetera. And I just said, it's not about you. It's about your audience. Because if you think about it, they were so passionate about getting the content out for their audience. They're like, we want our audience, our readers, to have what we have. And so they said that with such passion and commitment that when it came to sharing and documenting the process of writing a book, they were having a lot of fears come up. And I said, it's not about you. It's about getting this content out to your audience. When as soon as you take it off of you and onto your audience, it becomes about them. And that's why it's important before you go on stage and you speak in front of an audience, we can often be in our heads and thinking and, you know, what am I going to say? What do I look like? What am I going to wear? And it's like, what do you want the audience to lead with? Like, how do you want to impact? What do you want them? How do you want them to feel? How do you want them to feel? What do you want them to experience when you're on stage? And so it's about them. It's about what they feel, experience, learn, how they transform. And so that's really important. So I always say, when in doubt, focus out. So focus out, and that's a way for you to break down some of your breakthrough fear in terms of, and turn into action. And absolutely get a coach. In terms of, I mean, writing a book is, I mean, I get letters all the time from people who've attended Bestseller Weekend for a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they say that attending the workshop changed their life, whether they finally wrote the book, whether they're writing their second book, like, you know, going back into the membership site and watching the videos, whether the motivation. I had one woman who was in her 60s. She said she wanted to write a book for 40 years.
Oh my gosh.
And then she wrote it, and she's now speaking on the topic.
So that's incredible.
Opened her horizons. And so you could wait 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but you definitely want to do it, because like the reason I created Bestseller in a Weekend is so people can write it during the weekend workshop. So it's not about thinking about it or learning about it. It's actually doing it. Because when our brain is in urgency, we bypass fear into action. And so I'm very, very committed and very intentional during the weekend to ensure that everyone is not in their thinking brain, but in their action brain. And so really creating action. So a lot of timed exercises, a lot of Facebook Lives, a lot of contests, a lot of play, a lot of doing, a lot of results. And so by the end of the weekend, everyone has, if they follow all of the steps, as approximately 100-page draft book manuscript by the end of the weekend.
That's incredible. My head was mind blown with what you just said. 100-page manuscript in a weekend after having written a book, it seems like, wow, and that's totally possible. I think it's like you just said, committing yourself to something. For me, when I finished the book and put everything together, I literally had to leave my husband and my dog and go lock myself in a hotel up in San Francisco for 48 hours. And like you said, it was just, everything was done. And it's like, wow, I just finished my book. That's pretty incredible. So I agree. It's like getting yourself outside of your comfort zone and away from all the normal distractions, whether it's the new House of Cards or Orange is the New Black that just came out and we want to binge watch it. And there's so many other things that I feel like we could be doing with our lives. And when I have people ask me all the time, how do you find time to speak, to write a book, to run a company? I tell them it's because you just make time. You make it a priority. And it's like that woman who waited 40 years to write her book. Now is the time. Otherwise, you're going to wait another 40 years or never do it. And you may as well get out there, because we all have amazing wisdom and things to share that we don't even realize the way that we can contribute and impact the world in a powerful and empowering way.
Absolutely. I love it. And one thing, I just read the book. The last word on power. The last word of power. I just actually listened to the audiobook and I'm reading the book right now because I find I retain things more when I read books. And she talks about the default future. I hope I have the right book because I read two books at the same time. The default future. But anyways, the concept is the default future. And so basically the question that if you continue doing the same things you're doing today, you'll most likely be living a similar life a year from now. And so what it takes is a major disruption. So a pattern interruption, if you will. So something to almost, whether it's self-created, whether you create it yourself or it's outside and it's external opportunity. Cause sometimes for example, if you're walking down the street and get discovered, that's an awesome way to do it. But a lot of times we're creating it ourselves, creating that discovery ourselves. So what does your life look like? So if you're still doing the same thing you're doing today, you will most likely be living the same life a year from now. So what I did, and even I was thinking about this in yoga class today, is I listed the four things that I need to do right today and in the next couple weeks that will create a complete disruption and pattern interruption in my life. And they're doing things that are big and bold and scary and outrageous. And that's really what we get to look at. And so even when it comes to writing a book, I know my life would be so different if I didn't write Gold Digger. Oh my God. I think about it, like, what if I didn't write that book? I might be still living in Sacramento and being a technical writer. I have no idea what I'd be doing, but it requires bold things. So I wrote Gold Digger. Started to appear on TV. I met this person. I befriended Laurel Langmire and Christine Comerford and Mercy Shimoff. I put on Wealthy Girl 7. I met a whole bunch of other people. And then I went to all of these different synapses almost occurred after that book. And, the fact of being on the Steve Harvey Show. So if I didn't write my book, I wouldn't have had all of those opportunities happen. And so when we start getting comfortable and we're just doing the same thing over and over, the question I have is, do you want to be doing the same thing that you're doing today a year from now? A lot of people might say, well, yeah, this is fine. I'm not one of those people. I have big goals. And I really ask myself that question. I'm like, because it's interesting because I'm ready for a new upset. I'm ready for a new, not upset, destruction.
Be careful what you wish for.
And absolutely. So I'm open for this disruption, and I'm creating this disruption through these four items that I listed today, and so it's very, very powerful. So I'll ask you that question: do you want to be doing the same thing that you're doing today a year from now?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. And what blows my mind is the power of intention. What you were just talking about is I set up a 5-year plan, and somebody brilliant said it's easier to remember what you did than to plan ahead. And one of my mentors once taught me years ago, every 5 years, I stand in the future of having everything my way, having everything I ever wanted, dreamed of, tasted, felt, etc. And then standing in that future of having everything I wanted, I create my life backwards, going back every year. And Alicia, I was in tears when I looked at my 5-year plan this December, because it was last year that I had gone forward and created it again. And everything, even the things that weren't at the forefront of my mind, having a successful radio show, having 2 offices for my company, having a beach house, anything I had dreamed of and put as a possibility had manifested. And I'll be I was just flummoxed at how exactly what I had intended and seen in the future had occurred. And so, no, to answer your question, absolutely not. I intend for my life to be more miraculous, more extraordinary, more, what was the word you used? Not upsetting, but, disrupting.
A disruption. Yeah.
More disruptive every year. Because like you said, it's only when we face great obstacles or challenges or disruptions that we really get to see what we're made of. I had a rough day on Friday, and I am not one to even say the word rough day or bad day or anything, but I was challenged in ways I had not been challenged in years, because I was just like, life is merry, it's awesome, no problems. And on Friday, by God, I was like, okay, universe, lesson, there's some lesson I'm supposed to get in this. And it was the most beautiful thing. I was cleaning cleaning up at our house, and I found a journal that my best friend in 2001 in college had written me, and on the inscription at the front of the journal said, "I saw this, and I thought of you, and I want you to know, no matter whatever happens in the world or wherever you go, you are one of the most beautiful, inspirational people I've ever met." And it just completely changed my perspective, because here was somebody who was my best friend in college who I hadn't talked to in several years. And so we're getting together for brunch now at the end of the month. But we just forget sometimes, you know, we lose track of our path. And sometimes we need disruptions to reconnect to the people that are important to us or to reconnect to ourselves. I diverge.
Absolutely. No, I love it. And it's the power of intention. And so if you want a different life, you get to spend source of creating that life, that you're responsible. And so it begins today. So what do you get to do today to create that life that looks completely different? And so it's a very exciting thing to do, but it requires big, bold moves. And what got us here is not going to get us to the next level. And so what I want to encourage everyone who is listening in and who has been thinking about writing a book is looking at how can I serve the world by writing a book. I have a mantra that I use: write a book, start a movement, change the world. Because I notice a lot of my clients, they are writing books, but they're creating like just national, international movements around the content of their book. Whether that's mindfulness, whether that is women's rights, whether that is connection, whether that is giving back, relationships, business, mark, you know, whatever they're writing about, they're creating movements around that. And so I just want to encourage everyone to take the steps to do that, whether it's hiring a mentor, attending a workshop, doing whatever you have to do to take it to the next level, because it's a different type of life on the other side.
Brilliant. You've given our listeners so much fodder, and myself included. I'm so grateful for everything you've shared with us. And I do want everybody out there who's listening who might want to learn how they can do one of your online programs or attend one of your workshops or work with you one-on-one. What would be the best way to reach out to you or to be able to connect with you to do that?
Absolutely. Well, you can schedule a strategy session with me at aliciadunham.com. Or if you're ready to jump into Bestseller in a Weekend, you can go to bestsellerinaweekend.com. That's the online training. Or if you're looking for private coaching, you can go to thebookfunnel.com. That's done for you book. So we really create the whole strategy. It's a 4-month program, and you'll have your book done. And so Bestseller in a Weekend or The Book Funnel or aliciadunham.com. And something that I'm doing now, Jen, that I thought I'd add is Bestseller Weekend is really going on tour, and I'm being sponsored and hosted in different communities across the nation, like in New York and Atlanta. People are bringing me into their civic or business organization and basically hiring me out to create Bestseller Weekend for their group in particular. So if anyone's interested in that program, you can just reach out to me at aliciadunham.com.
Awesome. Well, I know I'm going to keep that on my radar. The next time I write a book, I am definitely going to call you first before I do it. And next week, by the way, for anybody who wants to tune in next week, we do have an amazing guest on the show. A retired general is going to be joining us and talking about how military professionals can transition from military life to civilian life. And I just want to take a minute to say thank you. You know, I know 4th of July is coming up. We just had Memorial Day. And thank you, you know, to all of our veterans out there who might not have ever had somebody say thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And this episode next week will be for you. So I encourage any of our listeners who have military family, friends, etc., please do tune in next Monday at 4 p.m. to get yourself the job. If you ever miss the show live, you can find it on iTunes later in the week at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes or on the archive of the LA Talk Radio website. And recently, I've been posting all of the archives of the show on our Get Yourself the Job Facebook page as well, which we encourage you to post thoughts on our guests. Any questions you might have or any guests you would like us to have on the show, we welcome your thoughts and ideas. And thank you so much, Alicia, for sharing your thoughts and ideas and inspiration with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jen, so much.
All right. I look forward to working with you in the future. And thank you to all of our listeners out there. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.